Welcome to the City of Refuge podcast, where our mission is to equip a diverse community of Christ followers to make him known.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you, Nikki. Thank you, band. Thanks for coming up and leading us in worship. And this is still Christmas time, isn't it? Still Christmas time. We can still say Merry Christmas. Greetings. As Johnny said, the last Sunday of 2020. This morning, we're going to continue to reflect on the life of Mary as we conclude our sermon series. We've been retelling the stories of the women in Jesus' genealogy from Luke. And Mary is the last woman in the genealogy. Of course, she was Jesus' mother. And you probably know about Mary. You've heard about her and probably know more about her than some of the other women that we've read about. But you probably know enough about her to know that she was probably an unexpected choice to be the mother of God's forever king, to be the mother of the Messiah. She and her betrothed, Joseph, were not wealthy. She was very young. And in becoming the mother of Jesus, she would experience sadness, danger, and tragedy. Oh, and in that sense, she had much in common with some of the other women that we've been learning about. And if you've been watching this series, you also know that I was let off kind of easy because Brandon, Darren, Johnny, John, they had a little more difficult stories to tell. And we even for this series had to institute a rating system, as you know if you've been watching. I'm happy to announce this morning is solidly rated G. So kids, gather around. We're gonna tell the story of Mary, and I'm gonna ask you to help me. So gather around, get close enough to the screen so you can see the pictures. As you're doing that, raise your hand if you saw Miss Ellie act out Mary. Did any of you see Miss Ellie on Christmas Eve? Pretty cool. Thank you, Ellie, for doing that. Did anyone, when they were watching, feel like maybe Ellie was too young to be acting out Mary? I bet Matt did. But you know what? Mary was pretty young. You know, Mary was probably 14, maybe she was 16. She was pretty young when she had Jesus. And let's tell the story about. I want you to help. Okay, so the first picture, the first time we see Mary, she is what? Do you guys, you know what this is a picture of? That's right, I think I heard somebody. This is the angel Gabriel telling Mary that even though she hasn't been married yet, she's going to have a baby, and that baby will be the Messiah, will be God the Lord. Okay, the next time we see Mary, anybody know what's happening here? Well, that's a picture of Mary visiting Elizabeth. You guys remember that? So they both had a baby growing in their tummy. They were cousins, John the Baptist and Jesus. Okay, what about the next picture? What happened here? You guys, can you see the star in the middle? Can you see the angels on each side? Can you see the anxious man? Can you see the animals? This is where Jesus was born, in a stable. This was Mary comforting baby Jesus. Okay, the next picture. Anybody know what was happening here? There's Mary and Jesus. And who's that man praying for Jesus? Well, this was Jesus being presented in the temple. This is Simeon and Anna who prayed for and about Jesus. And Simeon had been waiting to see Jesus, but Mary didn't know that when she brought Jesus to Simeon. She was a little bit surprised. Okay, what about the next picture? Who are these men? And why are they giving things to baby Jesus? Anybody know? Okay, well, these are the Magi, the wise men who are bringing gifts to Jesus, and Mary is there. Again, probably surprised. Men traveling so far to give these expensive gifts to her baby. Okay, the next picture. There's some clues. What did we read about next about Mary's life? Do you remember that Mary and Joseph, they had to walk and ride all the way to Egypt? Do you remember? To get away from Herod. I don't know actually whether they saw pyramids, but I picked this picture because I thought it would give you a little clue about where they were. Okay, the next picture. All right. So, wow, they're still walking. But where are they walking this time? Anyone know? When they came back from Egypt, where did they go? Remember, they walked all the way to Nazareth, and that was their new home. Okay, next picture. Well, what's happening here? We don't know a lot about Jesus' life when he was a boy, but we do have one story. Do you remember where that was? Well, Mary and Joseph took him to the temple. And one of the things that happened there was that Jesus was talking about the Bible with the leaders. And this surprised Mary and Joseph as well. Okay. Was that the last time we heard about Mary? Once Jesus grew up, was that the last time we heard about Mary? Well, those are some of the more famous stories about Mary, about Jesus' mom, but we know more. So when Jesus was a man and began his ministry, Mary was there. Mary was with him. Let me show the next picture. What was happening here? There's a little bit of a clue. Do you remember Jesus' first public miracle was to turn water into wine? And his mother was there. Jesus' mother was there. Mary was there with him. And there's another story we have from Jesus' ministry that I couldn't find a picture of. But actually, Jesus was teaching. And Mary came to see him and wanted to see him. And Jesus actually said, well, actually, she's my mother, but she's not really the focus of my time right now. Everyone here who believes in me and who follows me and puts their trust in me, they are my mother and my brothers and my sisters. I think Mary was maybe surprised about that too. The next time we read about Mary, I think you'll be able to tell what this is a picture of. Mary was here. Mary was here, and Jesus was on the cross in the middle, and Mary was here. And you remember that one of the last things Jesus said was he told his disciple John, who was here, to take care of his mother Mary. Mary was probably very sad. Actually, we read about Mary one more time in the Bible. Can anyone tell what was happening here? This one's maybe a little harder, but after Jesus went up to heaven, he ascended to heaven. The disciples were praying and waiting for the Holy Spirit, and Mary was there with them. So Mary was able to see the gift of the Holy Spirit poured out on all the disciples of Jesus. Oh, thank you very much. I heard a lot of good answers. I think some of these maybe you didn't know. Some of them maybe we didn't know about. But there is a lot for us to learn about Mary from the Gospels and from Acts. After hearing the story of Mary's life, what are some words you would use to describe her? What kind of a woman was Mary? When I was getting ready to preach this, I came across a long list of adjectives, a long list of things we learn about Mary. She was responsive, compassionate, empathetic, enduring, gentle, perceptive, obedient, willing, graceful, expressive, faithful, godly, dedicated, patient, humble, determined, and submissive. Why did God choose her? Do you think God chose her because she was really good at being a mom? Do you think he chose her because she was the best mom there was? Well, you know, Mary hadn't had a baby before. She didn't know how to be a mom, so that couldn't be it. Did it seem like God chose her because she was the most beautiful woman in the land? You know, when we watch some of these princess movies, you know, was she Snow White? Was she the most beautiful woman in the land? Well, that's not why God chose her. We know that God doesn't look at the things that man looks at. Peter says in 1 Peter 3, not to be adorned merely by braiding hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but by the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. Remember what Gabriel said to her? So I know a lot of you were able to pick out what was happening in that first picture when Gabriel was telling her that she would be the mother of Jesus. Gabriel said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. You have found favor with God." But what does it mean to do somebody a favor? Like if you say, "Hey, can you do me a favor?" What does that mean? What are you asking for? Well, normally you're asking, "Hey, can you do something for me that I haven't done for you? Something that I need done. Can you do something that would help me? Can you, out of the goodness of your heart, do something that would help me?" And this is close to what this means when Gabriel says, you have found favor with God. That God is pouring out his grace on you, Mary. God has chosen you and loves you. And it's not because Mary was great. It was because God was great. But we also see a great response. Mary's response to Gabriel. What does she say? In conclusion, she says, behold, you found the bondslave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. When the angel tells Mary what's going to happen, what God has chosen her for, she asks a question, but then she says, okay, I will submit to God's plan, even though I don't completely understand it. You aren't able to answer all of my questions, and I'm not sure what exactly is in store for me. I am your servant, and let God's will be done in my life. So we see our submission to God, but sometimes when we think of submission, we may incorrectly think about being passive. You know, was Mary passive? In those pictures that we saw, was Mary passive? I would say trekking to Egypt and back takes some courage. I would say appearing at the foot of the cross when some of Jesus' own disciples were too afraid to be seen with Jesus took courage. Waiting in the upper room for days and days, trusting that what Jesus said was true, that took courage. She followed Jesus in his ministry, even when he wasn't popular, and even sometimes when she wasn't popular, or she wasn't treated with extra honor or respect. And she probably didn't always understand what Jesus was teaching or the ways that Jesus even treated her. Mary's been studied perhaps more, it's tough to tell, but tough to count something like this, but she's been studied perhaps more than anyone else in the New Testament. Of course, except for Jesus, maybe Paul. And I've spent quite a bit of time learning about her. I attended an Orthodox church for a few years and was really challenged when I was there to learn more about Mary. You know, thinking about Mary, thinking about her relationship with Jesus is a great way for us to reflect on who Jesus was. And how is it possible for a baby to grow up to be the Savior of the world? How is it possible for Jesus to be both God and man? How is it possible for Jesus to have weakness and yet not sin? In fact, the early church and the councils of the early church talked about Mary primarily for this reason, to understand who Jesus was and how Jesus was both God and man, how he can be on our side and our brother and our advocate and yet also be eternal and holy and just and righteous. How was it that Mary was chosen to bear Jesus? What qualities did she have or not have? How did this happen? And so even years and hundreds of years after Jesus walked the earth, we were still talking about Jesus, and because of that, we're talking about Mary. But what we learn about why Mary is something that Mary, I think, gives us the answer to, even in the Magnificat, which Ellie read for us, and Lionel read, and Ellie acted out. God exalts the humble. He fills the hungry. He gives help to his people, and he regards our lowly state. This is the God whom we serve, that he picks people out and he lifts them up. And Mary is a great example of the grace of God. And if I just take a minute to reflect, we've been reflecting on 2020. We've been looking forward to 2021. And I just wanted to remind us that this is the God whom we serve. He is close to us when we are low, when we need to be lifted high. And if we are lifted high by him, it's his hand who did it. And he's the one who's worthy of glory and worship. Well, as we praise him for this year, we need to remember it was him who lifted us up. And if we need lifting up, let's remember that's what he does. When I think about Mary's faith, I'm reminded of the father of Israel, Abraham. Now, Abraham is one of the great examples of faith in the scriptures. And I've thought especially about how Abraham responded when God asked him to sacrifice his own son, Isaac. Do you remember that story? God asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, who was a miraculous baby, who was part of God's promise. God promised that Abraham would have many descendants through Isaac. And then he asked Isaac to sacrifice him. And God, when God asked him to do that, I have my own subtitles for what Abraham was thinking. And this isn't in the scripture, but there had to have been a how question, which he either said or thought. Like how? And maybe it wasn't, maybe he could ask that question in faith. God, how are you going to do this? I'm really curious to see how. Or maybe there was a tinge of, this doesn't seem possible. We don't read that. But even though Abraham knew Isaac had to live, even though Abraham knew that God's promise was through Isaac, I just really believe he didn't know how God would make that happen. And I think when Mary asks Gabriel, how is this going to happen? I'm not married yet. I think she's asking something similar. She's asking, God, I know what is right. I know that you're a God of righteousness. And I right now can't reconcile the righteousness that would not ask a woman who's not married to get pregnant, and the fact that there's an angel standing before me right now telling me this is God's plan. But both of them, both Abraham and Mary, trusted God. They trusted God, didn't they? Abraham took Isaac up to the altar. And Mary thanked the angel and said that she would be the servant of God. And when we saw her next with Elizabeth, she was rejoicing and exalting in God. She also said that generations would call her blessed. And in fact, this started happening even before Jesus went to the cross. There's a story in Luke
chapter 11, as Jesus was talking to the crowds, a woman called out and said, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." And Jesus replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." And this woman in the crowd was praising Jesus and extended her praise to the mother of Jesus. If Jesus is so great, just imagine the mother who Jesus came from. And Jesus, similar to his response when his mother and his brothers visited his ministry, he said, actually, those who hear the word of God and obey it are blessed. My mother is blessed, but not because she is related to me. My mother is blessed just as you would be blessed if you walked in obedience to God. And Jesus taught what it meant to be blessed. This wasn't the only time. You know this. You know that he taught what it meant to be blessed in the kingdom of God. And he taught that it wasn't about your parents. It wasn't about your family. It wasn't about your ethnicity. It wasn't about your status or your knowledge. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gave us a great definition of blessedness. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And as we read these, think about them from the perspective of Mary. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in this same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Wow. Mary was really blessed, wasn't she? Mary was poor in spirit. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Mary mourned. You will be comforted. Mary was pure in heart. You will see God. Mary was probably insulted and persecuted and falsely spoken of, starting with the time she was pregnant with Jesus. But your reward in heaven is great. Sometimes the world doesn't see submission as a good thing, but much of what Jesus taught about the kingdom of heaven conflicts with what the world says is good. Earlier, I mentioned Mary had some characteristics in common, you remember, with the women we've studied, Ruth, Tamar, Bathsheba, Rahab. And we are confident that Mary needed Jesus to save her, just like these other women needed atonement for their sins. But Mary was different from these women, wasn't she? She was different than everyone else in the genealogy because she got to see Jesus. And she didn't just see him as a baby. She got to see his whole life. She got to see his death. She got to see his ascension. She got to see the Holy Spirit breathe life into Jesus' church. I think of Hebrews 11, the heroes of the faith, and I know Rahab is listed there, isn't she? And I don't think Mary was left off the list because she lacked faith.
And I think it's because the point of Hebrews 11 is all of those people who lived a life of faith but were not able to see the coming of the Messiah. But Mary did. Mary got to see. She was the first one. She got to see the whole arc of Jesus' life. So, I think Mary is a good person today as we're celebrating Christmas and in the season of Christmas to reflect on and to learn from. How can we submit to God with courage? How can we step out in faith into God's model of blessedness? As I've reflected and getting ready to preach about the life of Mary, God's convicted me of submission. How can I submit? How can I courageously step out into the calling God has for me? How can I take steps when I'm not sure where or how the stone will be placed under my feet, when it looks like a big valley, a cliff? What does submission to God look like for you? I want to encourage you to think about that. Think about what does it mean for you to courageously step out in faith? How is God calling you to step out in faith? As a church, how can we submit to God? Yeah, think about that encounter, Gabriel with Mary. Gabriel says, Mary, this is the plan that God has for you. And she submits to that plan. And then she courageously follows the guidance of God. And if you haven't met Mary's son, who's always existed as God, but was born to her 2,000 years ago, if you've not met him, if you've not put your faith in him, you can meet him today. And if you're hearing this, you can know that God's favor is with you. You can know that God has provided a way for peace with him. And like Mary, the way to peace with God is through submission to him and courageous faith in him. And he'll save you if you put your faith in him. So, we're thinking about 2021, and Johnny announced our solemn assembly that's coming up. We'll be talking about rest for the next few weeks. I think Mary is a good example for us to ponder the meaning of 2020. What does it mean? Mary's also a good example for us to exalt in the favor that God has shown us and the hope that he will continue to show us favor. And as we move into next year with a focus on promoting unity and love in diversity, how can we submit to God and act with courage in unity? Well, I pray that we would be able to trust God for this, that we would pray for this, that we would seek him, and that we, in remembering the story of Mary, would have confidence that God does have the power and the love and the tenderness towards us to do this, to build us individually in our families and in our church into a church that looks like this, submitting to him and acting in courageous faith.
I pray that for us and for our church, and look forward to seeing what God will do with us in 2021. Amen.